I'm starving.
Food. Glorious food.
Do you know how to cook? Or do you just know how to put trash in the oven and then put it on a plate?
It's Foodie Friday with Neil Saavedra on The Bill Handel Show.
KFI AM 640. It is The Bill Handel Show. Bill's out with a messed up voice.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Is it his show?
Oh, yeah. Of course it's his
Doesn't
show.
Doesn't he have to be on it consecutively?
No.
No. Okay.
Oh, no. When Gary Shandling was guest hosting The Tonight Show, was it still not The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson?
Let's just take it over.
No.
Neil and Wayne,
you know what?
Together again. We're getting the band back together.
I have lost my taste for anarchy for some reason. I don't know what it is. You get a mortgage and a nice car, and all of a sudden your taste for overthrowing the status quo diminishes.
You were the king of anarchy.
I was.
The station.
Oh, my goodness, I was. We don't have time to get into all the crazy stuff that used to happen at KFI. Maybe sometime we should do a segment somewhere.
A
maybe
podcast.
I'll come on Saturday.
No, you could come on any time.
Maybe I'll come on Saturday sometime, and we can talk about the insane things that we did.
Valentine and
Stay
Company.
Stay tuned for a Fork Report episode coming soon. Hey, guess what? How would you like to hang out with Neil Saavedra?
Oh, I love that guy.
Of course you would. Well, you have an opportunity. It involves making a nice donation to help the American Red Cross Initiative to Get Prepared California. And when you do, you and a guest will mix and mingle with the KFI crew at the beautiful OUE Sky Space in Los Angeles, which is on top of the U.S. Bank Tower. 360-degree view of Los Angeles. Cocktails, a live Q&A, photo opportunities, mingling with all the hosts here at KFI. You have to be 21 years or older to attend because everybody's going to be extremely drunk. And there are limited tickets to this event, so you want to get them before they're gone. If you want the details, log on to KFIAM640.com, keyword mixer. Neil, what color will your beard be at this event? And Alex and I each have an idea.
That's an excellent question, and one that I'm sure everybody is curious about. I don't know. It depends. October is when
the big
event.
Again, details, KFIAM640.com, keyword mixer.
I don't know. It could be orange for the Halloween or the fall time of the year. I don't know.
My suggestion is black and orange, which are the KFI colors.
Okay.
But we'll Alex has another suggestion that's pretty good, too.
I was just thinking red for the Red Cross.
Oh, excellent. I've done red before. I will tell you, I don't know that I'll do boysenberry again for Knott's Berry Farm. That's a mess. That's a mess. But you can you go sign up for that. We'd love to meet you. And you can pull me and Wayne aside and ask us about dirty details from being here for so long. And we'll tell you. Oh, we'll whisper them in your ear.
Now, let's talk about the new sexy carb. For carbs are back, generally.
Yeah.
And the carb of the moment, pancakes.
Yeah. In all forms. And I think pancakes, donuts, bread, these are things that are in every culture. There is a fried dough in every culture. There is a flat dessert dough in every culture. It's just one of those things that kind of there's different types and styles of pancakes. So you've got pancake coming in two different directions. You've got traditional pancakes on the rise, no pun intended. But people are enjoying them. And then you've got the artsy-fartsy, chef-y-style pancakes that are coming, or like the Dutch babies and things like that that are
popping up. Now, what makes a Dutch baby different than just a regular buttermilk pancake?
It's Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
Ingredients.
It's young.
It's a baby. Actually, a Dutch baby, the way that it's cooked and the way that it's prepared is much different in the amount of egg and things like that.
I see. We think maybe of the traditional like Pillsbury pancake mix, buttermilk type pancake, but there are all kinds of different, there's like buckwheat pancakes.
Oh,
what are all the different grains and other things that are making up pancakes?
Well, there's a lot of ancient grains that are on the scene right now too. There's a lot of people that are bakers that are excited about different grains that are popping up, but things like buckwheat, you've been able, you go to the pantry and they've had buckwheat pancakes forever. And they're darker, richer, slightly more nutty flavor. They're better for you and things like that. And then your traditional pancake with the buttermilk, of course, has that tanginess to it because of the acid content of the buttermilk. And also they rise really, really well because they respond, the acid responds with the sodium bicarbonate, the baking soda.
So is the trend making the pancakes out of different grains and also weird toppings?
Yes. So that this is the artsy part. We went through this with grilled cheese sandwiches too, where it was like, okay, this is a grilled cheese, and basically you put American cheese between two pieces of very doughy white bread. You put butter on each side, and then you toast it, right? Although they're in the South, sometimes grilled cheese are made not on a griddle, but in the oven. Oh. There's different parts where they were where they will heat it up that way rather than on top of a grill. So that's your basic. Then you had people, Chef Eric Greenspan coming out and just blowing people's minds with putting different cheeses in there. His favorite cheese, I believe, is still Havarti in a grilled cheese. Wonderful. And people doing things like putting mayonnaise instead of butter on the outside to give a little tang. And then they started putting meats and proteins on the inside with the cheese proteins. And just like this cacophony of flavor for a grilled cheese that was like the most basic thing you could ever get.
And that's what's happening with pancakes now. Exactly. It's not just a pancake, butter, and syrup, and you're done.
Well, there's some like Mikey's Cafe. They have one in Pacoima and in Studio City. Ralph, the chef and owner, is a friend of mine, and I love what he does. He does a great buttermilk pancake, but instead of syrup, let's say he's using lemon curd or things like that. So that's a standard pancake, but with a topping that will turn it up a notch.
All right. Hey, listen, let's take a break. And then when we come back, I didn't realize this. Salted butter is back. Now, every time I go to the store, I see salted butter. So I didn't realize salted butter went away so that it could come back. But that's apparently what's happening. You need to explain this to me. Thank you very much. Neil Saavedra, The Fork Reporter, your program, The Fork Report, every Saturday, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m.
Yes, sir.
And you'll be back with us for Foodie Friday in a moment here. It's KFI AM 640.
I love romaine lettuce. Yummy, yummy romaine lettuce. I love to eat romaine lettuce. It's a very tasty lettuce. Yes, it is.
Romaine KFI AM 640. It's the Bill Handel Show. Bill out with his sore voice. We're here with The Fork Reporter, Neil Saavedra, every Saturday, 2 to 5 p.m., The Fork Report, wildly popular food program.
And also, thank you.
Were you not, you were voted best something food blogging guy, something with a beard and something, right?
That, you are kind. I've won three, count them, three Golden Foodie Awards, one for best radio show and two for food influencer.
There you go. And you're with us now. Explain this to me, because I'm looking at a headline, and it's not from like Food and Wine magazine or Munchies mag. It's from the Washington Post, and here's the headline. Salted butter is back. Was it gone?
Don't you like picture salted butter walking in with sunglasses going, "All right, babies, I'm back. Let's do this."
What happened to salted butter in the first place?
Here's the deal. It's much more complicated than I would have thought originally, but this is what happens. Chefs, bakers do not use salted butter. 90% of the time, they don't use salted butter because they want to control the salt. Your average stick of butter has about a quarter teaspoon of salt.
It's not that much.
No, not much at all, but it's much more than you think. So the whole thing is that whenever you're taught, and I've been taught this and I teach this on the show all the time, is don't cook or bake with salted butter, because this brand might have more salt in it. This brand might have less salt in it. This, you don't know what you're doing. You're adding ingredients that you're not sure what they are, because depending on the brand of butter. So it's always been, hey, use unsalted butter. You can add the salt as you go. That's been the norm since I started cooking and or baking. However, they're finding that a lot of the cookbooks, there's an interesting pattern that's gone on with butter and how it's changed throughout the years, because earlier on you need more salt in butter because it was to preserve it. So it wasn't only just for flavoring, it was to preserve it, right? So they found that a lot of the earlier recipe books assume that you were going to use salted butter, but people were doing them now without salt, and that technically it was a much different flavor than the recipe expected once done. So now there's a look at this, and cooks and chefs and bakers are looking at this saying, you know what, maybe we've been doing it wrong. Maybe we've been too aggressive on using unsalted butter, and we're not getting that double layer of salt and depth in the flavor of what we're making that we would if the butter was salted and we still controlled the secondary part of salt. Another part is these recipes were never modified, so they assumed you're using whatever you can get your hands on, which was salted, highly salted butter because it was preservative. And now that bakers were using regular unsalted butter, they weren't compensating for the lack of salt. So there wasn't the depth in some of their, in some of the things that they were making that should have been there. And they're finding, because salt is not about saltiness. It's about activating it. Everything you, bitter, salty, sweet is to activate your tongue into tasting or experiencing something a certain way. Salt isn't about making something salty. It's about enhancing the flavor around it. Salt is a flavor enhancer. It shouldn't change things. It should enhance them. Pepper changes things. Pepper is to change flavor. Salt is to enhance it. So now they're finding some bakers were going back and trying recipes and like using salted butter because it's what they had, and finding that it was making certain like laminated pastries, which is like your croissant, thing like that. Things like that, where you're actually layering flavor and structure with the butter and the dough and the butter and the dough and the butter and the dough. That's why they call it laminated. And they're finding that there was more depth when they were using the salted butter. So now there's a shift of using salted butter again in your baking and your cooking, which has always been a no-no.
So I have a question. You're saying there was a time when basically butter, if you just said butter, it was salted butter.
Yeah, it had to be.
All right. So then it would make sense that recipes would be written assuming there's salt in the butter.
Correct.
Who was the first, not who like their name, but why did somebody go, hey, no, unsalted butter
no.
because there's too much salt if the convention was to assume salted butter?
It has to do with the manufacturing of butter by certain dairies versus people making it at home. There was a change in people churning a fat and they're churning their own butter. And in that changed flavor bases, how much salt put in, and these things split off. So it wasn't like it was just one. You had the no longer the need to preserve butter the way they used to. So less salt because it was, again, not there to flavor it. It was there to preserve it. So they back off on that, and then you've got people making their own butter, and they're not putting as much salt in. They're controlling that. So that changed tastes and flavor. It wasn't like somebody turned off the salt switch when it came to butter.
It actually butter changed.
Yeah, butter changed.
Wow. So
and,
now people
are like Europe.
Purposefully seeking out the salted butter.
Absolutely. Recipes. You get some Kerryland butter. What is it? What's the
Kerrygold?
Kerrygold, yeah. Oh,
get Irish butter is where it's at.
Come on.
I could just eat a cube of that right now.
I'd like to see
That's
that.
That's gross.
I like your shirt.
You
look pretty in blue.
I like your face.
Thank you.
Actually, you're wearing blue. You look pretty, too.
That's Shannon Farron, by the way. I know people know that, but it seems customary to announce.
Everybody knows that that's Shannon
Farron. No, I know. And yet there's a custom that when somebody comes in, you go, oh, Shannon Farron's here.
We're doing customs now?
Yes, because
we're standing on ceremony?
Yes. Mm. North and South Korea met and they had a lot of ceremony. So apparently ceremony is what's going to save the planet.
So as the Koreans go, so do the rest of us?
You got it.
Got it.
You think they started out with, I like your haircut. I like your haircut.
Probably.
Let's have
switch haircuts.
Let's have peace.
See what that looks like.